Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be together to worship the Lord on this, the second Sunday of Advent, the season of when we celebrate his coming, and we look forward to the celebration that our Savior came. We'll see again in this morning's passage that God promised throughout the scriptures that he would send a Savior to us. And there's no way possible to just have one description of who Jesus is, of who our Savior is. He's just too big. And so we see all types of descriptions, all types of language that God uses to begin to declare to us and show us the enormity, the beauty, the glory, the power, the love, the mercy of Jesus and who he is. And we will see that this morning. And the passage focuses on other aspects, but again, we will look at the one aspect in particular this morning of that with Jesus, he brings peace, that he is the Prince of Peace. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that even though we had turned away from you, and that even now, Lord God, our wandering hearts turn from you, drift away from you, O Lord God. We thank you that Jesus is our Savior. I ask now, O Lord God, in this time now of looking to your word, would you, by your Holy Spirit, quicken our hearts to you? Would you open our eyes and ears to see and hear you as our Lord and Savior? Would you bind our wandering hearts to you, O Lord God, drawing us back from apathy, from fear, from attraction to the world over you, O Lord God? Would you fill us with the love for Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. This morning, we will be looking at verses 1 through 10, Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand upon the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is God's word. Jesus is declared here as a ruler, as a king, and he brings with him and to his people peace. Now, we're not very familiar with a king. It's not really, you know, we were literally formed as a nation in rejecting the rule of a king. And so that can be a little bit hard for us sometimes to even kind of understand that. But we do understand leaders. We're very good as Americans of looking to leaders and understanding leaders and valuing leaders. And yet I think all of us, at one time or another, and possibly more of us in the more recent years, look at our leaders, whether they be political leaders, whether they be corporate leaders, whether they be religious leaders, and we've been disappointed. We've been let down by our leaders. We're frustrated with our leaders. We often want to build someone up because we're looking for someone to follow. We all are. We're all looking for that person that we can follow who will lead us well. And there are many who lead well, but we always, of course, hear about the ones who don't. There are so many leaders in churches forever, I'm sure, but it sure seems like in the past few years that we've seen who have fallen, who have not been faithful to the Lord, and yet still continue to try to hide and fight against their consequences of their sin. We know we have political leaders. I mean, I think all of us probably at one time or another have said, you know what, I'm not voting for a candidate, I'm voting against a candidate. Right? There's really no one that we're supporting, that we're really getting behind necessarily. That we look at the nations, and whether you're, again, we always kind of talk about the divide that we have in our nation right now. But we look at whether you are conservative or progressive or wherever, or independent or wherever you find yourself, the general kind of conclusion or feeling that we all have is that things are a mess, right, in our nation. Things are really, really messed up. Now, I'm not sure how much worse they are than in different days and different ages. I think we have selective memory in some ways. But is it idealistic of us? Is it too much to ask that we would be ruled, whether it's in a nation or in a community or in a family, by one who truly brings about peace, one who truly brings about reconciliation? We think we talk about that sometimes as an ideal that can never be achieved, right? We see so much brokenness, yes, in the nation, yes, in our communities, but in our families also, right? We see things where there's so much hurt and pain that builds up little by little by little over time and creates these big divides within our families and we know that we should forgive and we should go and we should reconcile, and yet it's so hard. Well, in this passage this morning, in the prophecy here given that a Messiah will come who will save God's people, who will bring about a ruling, who will rule his kingdom, and it will be one where there is true lasting peace and goodness, where there will be justice, and there will be fruit from that, that will be a joy to his people. So this passage is promising that God would send a Savior, and that Savior would be a true ruler for all of us, who will truly affect good in the lives of his people. Our passage this morning is coming out of chapter 10, obviously. And in chapter 10, God is pronouncing judgment on the nation of Assyria. Now, earlier, he had pronounced judgment on Israel because of their turning away from him. And part of the judgment on Israel was that he said, I'm sending the nation of Assyria to come, and they're going to attack you militarily, and they're going to lay waste to you. They are going to just wipe out you as a nation. But then God says, though they are my tool, they also are evil. And I then, in chapter 10, am going to bring judgment upon them, which he does through the Babylonians and the Persians and the Medes. And I will destroy them also with his judgment. So we come into almost the end of chapter 10. And we see this, it's this picture of desolation, of like just, you know, a war-torn land, which we really haven't, if we're from America, we haven't really seen firsthand here at home. If you are a soldier, you've probably seen that in other countries. You've seen some war-torn lands, and maybe in movies and on newsreels, we've seen some of the devastation that happens to civilians and people and houses and buildings and cities and crops that are just laid waste. And so that's the picture through chapter 10 there, of because of God's judgment, is devastation. And God being God could just say, that's it, I'm done. Devastation, and it's over. But that's not who our God is. When I say God being God, I mean because he is the Lord, because all things are in his hands, he is the ruler of all, he can do what he wants. But that's not his character, that's not his nature, and that's what we see here in verse 11. It's into this that he pronounces here in verse 1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. So here's the picture. Now, so who is Jesse, right? Well, Jesse is coming from the line of David, right, which has been prophesied that the Messiah will come from the line of David. Right, 2 Samuel chapter 7, where there's the promise that there will always be a descendant of David on the throne. God will have a descendant of David eternally on the throne. And at the time, it looked like, oh, we just keep having sons, right, for eternity. No, it's pointing to Jesus who will reign on the throne for all eternity. But he's saying a shoot will come up from the stump. So this is the picture of the desolation, right? There's desolation. You're like, oh, God's promises are over. God promised a Messiah, but look at this. Everything's devastated. You ever look at your own life or things around you and lives of friends and brothers and sisters and family members and go, there's just despair. I don't see any hope for anything to change. That's what it looked like. And God said, from this barren, dead, like picture a tree that's just been cut down and destroyed and is now dead. God says, here's what I'm going to do. Not you. Here's what I'm going to do. From that stump that appears dead, I'm going to bring up a little tiny shoot. It's not going to look like much. A baby born to poor people who was born in an animal shelter, animal home, not even a bed to lie on. This is the Savior of the world? This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Yes. Yes. this is what God is going to do. And he's going to grow up and he's going to bear fruit. And so here now in the rest of the passage, we see a progressing description of who Jesus as king is going to be, as our ruler is going to be. First, it presents to us Jesus's qualifications for ruling, verses 1 through 3. Here are his qualifications. Here's why he is the good ruler. Here's why he is the one we all need to look to, we all hope for. He has been divinely endowed for ruling. For he himself is God. He is the one who is to rule. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. These descriptions are not possible in any human. They're so grand. They are so perfect that they're only possible because he's divine. Who is the ruler we need to come and save us as individuals, to save our families, our communities, the nations of the world, the peoples of the world? Who is the one we need that will not oppress us, that will not take advantage of us, that will not betray us, that will not be unfaithful, that will not take all this power and become corrupted by it? It is Jesus who has been empowered by the Father to rule with wisdom and with understanding. Not just with might. You know, we see, I'm not trying to in any way give sides politically here, but you know, there was a threat of a rail workers' strike that was going on, where the railroad workers, they're petitioning, saying that they are overworked, that they have to work 7 days a week sometimes, that they're not getting time off. There's just, again, the labor shortages and all these different problems going on there, right? And so they're threatening to strike. And then President Biden stepped in and issued an order that they had to go to work, right? And so there's this sense of betrayal from the union workers, but here's President Biden trying to keep the country running. And so it's this very, as most political issues are, it's very complicated. It's not a win-win situation. It's usually a lose-lose situation, which can you lose a little bit worse in many of these situations here, right? And again, I'm not saying what he should have done or shouldn't have done, none of that. But think about this. As Jesus rules with his wisdom and understanding, all of his rules are fully just for everyone. That there is no winners and losers as he rules his kingdom. Perfect justice for all. Because his wisdom isn't just something he gained from studying really hard and from life experience. It is the wisdom of God that he has, spirit of counsel and of might. So he's not just having all this wisdom, but has no power to move in his authority. No, he has all of the might. Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and of knowledge. Jesus is qualified to rule because he is God, our good God. The next part of this passage, we see the descriptions of Jesus's performance in ruling. Here's what he's doing in his ruling in verses 3 through 5. Here's the actions he takes. Here's what his acts of ruling look like. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. We see here that he is, as he rules and pronounces judgment, that they are right and good. That he's not just looking at the surface issue. He's not just looking at his polling data. He's not just enriching his own friends or himself. That he sees to the heart of the matter in ways that we can't even see, in ways that we do not even know. Is that not the ruler that we want to bow before? The one who knows what is better for us than even we do and has the authority and the power to carry that out for us? There's a picture here of King Jesus, not trying to sit loftily high and above us to make us feel badly, but as a servant who comes down and says, here's what you need. Here's what I'm providing for you. Here's how I'm serving you and helping you. Right? We see that beautiful picture at the Last Supper where Jesus gets down and he takes off his outer garment and he washes his disciples' feet. He's the King of Kings. He's the Son of God. What's going on? We worship him. We bow before him. We serve him. Yes, and that is true and good and right. But he's also the servant king who provides for his people. Ah, think of perfect justice and perfect mercy. I know it might seem striking or difficult at times to hear passages or verses here. Like he says, he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. But there can be no peace without judgment on evil. There really needs to be judgment upon evil. There can be no justice, no righteousness, if evil is not dealt with. Now we, and again, in our limited wisdom, in our human frailties, we, in the best case scenario, try our best to deal justice, to met out justice with varying levels of success. And it's worst case, it's all corrupted also, even that, but not with Jesus. His ruling, his judgment is perfect. Well, third and final then, in verses 6 through 10, we see Jesus' results in ruling versus qualifications, then the actual performance of his ruling. And now we see the results of his ruling. By the way, these passage is called out, the way I'm outlining it here, by qualifications, by performance, and by results. This is, Dr. Oswalt is the name of the professor who did this. This isn't original. He's a commentator and professor, writes a very powerful volume on the book of Isaiah here. And these come from him. The results of his ruling in verses 6 through 10, we have these really kind of familiar verses here, right, that sound really beautiful to us, and they are. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard lie down with the young goat. Calf and the lion, fatted calf. The child shall lead them. Not a big, strong man lead them. Cow and the bear, they'll lie down together. Lion eat straw. Children playing with snakes. I don't want to talk about that part. I don't want to think about snakes. Thank you very much. Not my jam at all. But here we see, the picture is here, is that things in nature, animals in nature that will be natural predator and prey, that of course if they're in the same presence together, the predator is going to kill and eat the prey. But the results of Jesus ruling, the peace is so profound, is so all-encompassing, is so complete, that even these natural predators and preys, there's peace between them. That's the picture that he is showing forth here. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, because the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Peace. Beautiful, lasting, eternal, comprehensive, complete peace. I love peace. Really, really beautiful. I'm a very anxious person, general, right? And so the idea of being at perfect peace with myself, with God, with people around me, with all in God's kingdom, that's just beautiful. Such a longing in my heart, and it's kind of hard to even imagine for me in many ways, because it's so the opposite of kind of how I am on a daily basis. What do you think about this level of peace where these natural enemies are just hanging out together, having a great time? Now, part of this passage, I want to describe it as a both and, okay? That Jesus has come. Right now, remember, if we're looking at Isaiah here, right, this is about 700 years, 650, 700 years before Jesus' birth, okay? And so it's looking forward to Jesus' coming. Well, we're in this in-between stage now where Jesus has come, as we're remembering and celebrating here this Advent, and we're looking forward to his coming again, where the kingdom will be completed, will be consummated. But the scriptures declare, Luke chapter 11, that with the coming of Jesus, the kingdom of God has come. Not complete. But we are living in the foretaste. We're enjoying the foretaste of the kingdom, because the Holy Spirit of God is with us for all believers. And so in the here and now, in our daily lives, there is the offer of this peace to us. Not perfectly yet. Already this morning, there's been a few of you who've already come up and shared stories of this week, of the ways in which God has worked so powerfully in your lives this week. Ways that God showed up so powerfully and brought about beautiful peace and healing and restoring of relationships and hope for restored relationships. And that's just, it's been so encouraging to me this morning to hear that God is at work in your lives. And that we are called to pursue that peace, to work towards that peace, to humble ourselves, trusting in God, depending on the Holy Spirit, looking to Jesus and following Jesus, and seek peace. We're going to celebrate communion in a few moments. And so part of celebrating is that we are to examine ourselves beforehand, to see if there is any sin within us, to see if there are any broken relationships within us, that we can then seek the Lord right now for his forgiveness, and then go about our day, our week, seeking to repair and restore and reconcile with any individuals that we are broken with. And I say that knowing that some may not be able to be repaired. And for those who are not able to be repaired, the promise of Jesus ruling in peace is, as I said, already here, but it's also not yet, because ultimately it will be completed in eternity when he comes again and takes all his people to be with him, when we will dwell with him in heaven forever. And there the kingdom of peace will be complete. Total peace. And so even as we work towards peace and strive for peace and seek peace here and now, we know and we have hope, last week's, we have hope in that process here and now, because we know that even where it's not possible and even where our efforts fall short, in heaven it will be completed. Heaven is coming. There will be no more pain, no more crying, no more suffering, no more broken relationships. There will be true and everlasting peace. Jesus is our ruler. He is our king, and his reign is a reign of peace. The reign of Jesus, the kingdom of Jesus, the ruling of our King is peace. Therefore, let us look to him and trust him and obey him always. Let's pray. Lord, thank you very much that you are our ruler, that you are good and powerful. Lord, would you please bring about peace within our own lives? Peace with you, peace with ourselves, peace between one another, Lord, in friendships and in families, in communities, in nations, and around the world, oh Lord God. Would you please bring your peace, oh God? Thank you that in heaven it will be perfected. May we trust in you, O God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.